You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
That's how we do it here on the Le Batard Show. And listen, I love my friends over at Mavis Staples. I know what you're saying. They're staples. Like, how could their staples be better than any other staples? But I'm telling you, they are. They will hold more paper together than any other staples out there. I am telling you, I've used them, guys. I have them in my house. My kids use them. In fact, I like them so much, I got my kids' private school to use nothing but Mavis Staples. They have an exclusive deal. They are fantastic. And like Dan said, you got to support the people that support the show. And that's what Mavis Staples has been doing forever. So if you're interested, I can get you 15% off right now. All you have to do is go to MavisStaples.com, promo code Dan. That is MavisStaples.com, promo code Dan.
How you do it?
Dugatz can prove that he can sell just about anything, even a Greg Cody reference to having gone to the concert of an 80-year-old Mavis Staple. Billy, you were getting buried in the kitchen by everybody in the company. The same area where we watched the first film made by Meadowlark Media. It'll appear on Amazon Prime on Thanksgiving Day. About U.S. and Mexico and the soccer rivalry, and of course the politics between the two countries as well. And you were eating, there was so much candy and stuff out there, and it didn't feel like any of you ate it yesterday. So you decided to have at 9 a.m. gummies for breakfast.
False narrative. Ooh. Not exactly what happened.
But you were eating gummies at 9
a.m. I was. Now, what is the reason for that? It's because we have one toaster and 3 billion people here now. So there was a long line for toast. I had to rush out of the house today just to get stuck in traffic anyways because someone broke down. Drivers, can we just make a pact? Can we all accept that we're in this together and just not drive like assholes so everyone can get where they need to go on time every day?
Good luck with that, Bill.
No promises.
Yeah. Every day, it just takes one or two people to mess it up for absolutely everyone and society. If we can all just focus for our drive for 15, 20, 30 minutes, however long it may be, 45, 2 hours, whatever Stugatz's is, just focus that time on driving. We can all get to where we're going without crashing and holding everybody. You don't need to check your Twitter, Tony. No one wants to tweet at you. Focus where you're going and we'll be fine.
The most I despair for society is when there is an accident or is when there are lanes closed. And let's say you're going from 4 to 3 and the one on the right lane is closed off and they've got to merge. And someone stops the person in front of them from merging. It's a one in, one out policy. And yet there's always the person that becomes the two in. They wedge themselves in. Yep. They don't allow people to merge. Yes. You, sir or ma'am, are a scourge on our society.
Thank you.
Wow. A scourge on our society.
My God.
And you need to look yourself in the mirror and think about what you do to traffic, what you do to your fellow man. It is disgusting. It is repulsive. And you, sir or madam, need to improve who you are as a human being.
So nice.
Wow.
Yeah. There is nothing worse than not being able to merge. Like, a guy won't let you merge who just merged himself.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's the worst.
When you cut someone off, it's kind of like you got to know your teammates and they got to get in ahead of you. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be the person that doesn't let people in.
I love sometimes when, like, I'm running late to merge and I see someone cut someone else off. And for me, it's like, you know what you did. You know what you did? I'm getting in front of you, okay? This is your payback to society for cutting someone off when you shouldn't have. You're going to let me in, too.
Here's my thing. It's just similar to this. I hate when we're merging or, you know, it says, hey, this lane is closed up ahead, so you got to merge. And people a mile ahead of it start lining up on the side. And I'm like, I'm zooming right past this until the final moment where I have to merge.
You're the problem.
Why am I the problem? It's a lane. Why aren't people using this lane?
That's actually what you're supposed to do.
Thank you.
I've looked at, like, traffic pattern optimization things on Twitter and YouTube because I'm fascinated by this.
If I said this, whew, the battery. Yeah,
let's go back to gummy bears. Billy, why are you eating gummy bears?
Have you guys heard of citizens' arrests?
Yes.
I thought of writing citizens.
Seen Seinfeld.
I thought of writing citizens' tickets today. I was honestly considering it. It wouldn't have gone well for me because, look, I'm
no narc.
It would have been me later. That's a whole other thing. I'm no narc, but I will say this. In the traffic that I was dealing with today, there's a lane on the expressway where I'm driving that's clearly marked it is only for buses. It's not. You can't even. It's painted red, which I've never seen before. It's painted red. I thought that they spilled a can of paint and just dragged it through the street. It's painted red, this lane. Only for buses. I saw no less, and I started counting after like five or six, no less than seven. And again, I'm not an arc. I saw no less than seven vehicles with lights on their roofs, turning them on, driving in the lane that was meant just for buses. And then once the bus lane ended, they would just drive in and turn their lights off. There didn't seem to be any emergencies, but I'm not a narc, so I won't tell you what division they belong to. I just will say they had sirens on their roofs.
Let me just say this, Billy.
It's a heady play.
It's not narking when it's law enforcement. That's the only one. That's the only one where you get to snitch on them for sure.
No,
but
no,
I think I think Billy's doubting whether or not they're all law enforcement.
Like, no,
I think
I'm absolutely not. No, these are very official looking vehicles. What I'm saying is, had I decided this is the time to write the first ever citizen citation on these vehicles, it would have gone very poorly for me. I would have been a lot later, and I probably would have gotten arrested. So I don't think it would have worked out for me. But I was very peeved. I was very peeved to see no less than seven do this. And I was like, what is going on here? I don't like this. But we move forward. I got here, and let's talk about the gummy bears, because that's what this was about.
Let's backtrack for a second, because Roy had something to say here, and I have follow-up questions for you.
If this was Madden, you would have a 99 on the deflection attribute, right? Because that was a beautiful deflection.
From what?
For being late from work?
From the gummy bears.
Gummy bears.
We talked about traffic for about 10 minutes.
Well, there's a reason for the story.
I forgot that was the point of the story.
Yes, but here... We will get back to the gummy bears, and I thought Billy did that on purpose, but now I have further questions to get into this hole, because I have felt the pandemic and everything just got jostled here, and in the middle of that, you became a father. And so when you get here in the morning, there is an energy on you. You come in backpack, sort of shoulder first, and it feels like you've been catapulted from someplace, and you arrive here energetically in a way that's frazzled, and I didn't realize it was just the traffic. I thought it was just life, but it sounds like it's the traffic.
Truth be told, today started early for Billy Gill. I was up at 5 a.m. because I needed to finish the Use of Sound montage because I wasn't here yesterday and I wasn't done. So I woke up at 5 to finish the Use of Sound montage.
That's
so
a special start. I had a good
90 minutes or so of work before I even stepped in the car.
Jesus.
And then I had to, you know, feed the baby, do all the baby things. Things that go on. So I've had a busy day today. So I have that energy, and I didn't have coffee. Now back to the gummy bears. Unless there are any further questions.
The difference between the pandemic at the start of the pandemic.
I don't want to sound like a mean. Great. There was no driving around. There was no traffic. It was kind of like roll out. You got to get up early to do some work. Get up early 40 minutes before you got to do work. Boom. Take a couple steps. Sometimes pajama pants on. Actually, that's not true. I don't know how you guys did it, but I was doing the whole thing where like I would get dressed for work and sit down, and then I would change after. Yeah.
Really? People were encouraged to do that. It sort of gave you a sense of purpose.
No. It was big. I don't know this. I don't know the facts. You guys, I'm sure you could look it up on laundrydetergent.com.
Sure.
Big year for doing laundry, I would say.
Yes.
Because I had my work. I had my work clothes that I regularly wore. I had my hangout in the house clothes, and then anytime I went outside, because I didn't have a hazmat suit, I had my outdoor clothes.
Yeah.
And as soon as I would walk in the doorway, I would strip all of my clothes off down to my skivvies, and then I would put my indoor clothes back on, and I'd throw my outdoor clothes over. I think I even had outdoor and indoor shoes at the time, because I couldn't let the germs of this unknown virus get on my clothes and penetrate. This is back when we were washing grocery boxes and grocery bags. Like, I was getting these
Clorox wipes
that were in demand. You couldn't find them, but I'm wasting them washing boxes of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which are cardboard. And it's like, well, what is this chemical doing to the box? Is this even worth it? Which it wasn't. So, anyways, back to what were we talking about?
Do you remember scrubbing your groceries? Do you remember cleaning up your grocery bags.
We had a conversation back here yesterday that was among the sadder conversations we had, which was, what are the hallmarks you remember of the pandemic? Oh, wow. And that certainly was one of them. Like, I had
not being everyone, able to get free weights.
Right.
Yes.
And toilet paper.
Everyone had a moment where they made the decision, am I a scrubbing my groceries person or am I not a scrubbing my groceries person? I distinctly remember shaving my head because I couldn't get to a barber.
What?
And yeah.
I shaved my boyfriend's head? Neck.
Yeah. I shaved most of the hair off my head. Yeah. I was sick of having hair. I just went off with it.
Huh.
Can we go back to Stugatz?
What happened?
No free weights that you were.
That was a thing, man. Free weights were in demand.
I figured it was the perfect time to try to finally get in shape. Mm-hmm. I had nothing but time.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get free weights.
Yeah.
I mean,
not to sound like a mean, best shape of my life. I was doing Barry's boot camp at home every single day, and I had no work to do.
I gained weight.
I tried yoga.
I was great. I was in great shape. It wasn't peak 2018, but it was pretty good though.
I had an idea, Stugatz, that I'll gladly share with you because it's an idea, and I just would like it for the betterment of society.
Okay.
Because I don't know how to put it in place, right? And I don't know how to make it affordable. The thing with free weights, they're kind of expensive, right? And you have to buy a lot of them. And then they have the weights that you go and they have like the adjustments on them where it's like you take off and it's
The Bowflex.
Those are super expensive. Yeah. They're like $200-$300 or something like per thing, yes. Right? So I was thinking, there has to be a way, and Stugatz, you can get in on this with me if you want. I don't know how to develop this idea. Now I'm putting it out there. Someone else will.
Mm-hmm.
Things weigh. Everything weighs, right? So why is it that we're paying so much for buying weight? So this is what I was thinking, Amin, and tell me what you think about this.
Mm.
I was thinking of making plastic dumbbells that you fill with sand.
They already made those.
Really?
Yeah, they made those already.
Those already exist. But also, Billy, what you're landing on is...
A little late, Bill.
How expensive are they?
I don't know.
What you're landing on is the Rocky IV principle, which is... I don't need like sophisticated gym equipment.
Just I've got
all
cabin.
This shit lying around here. Yeah. Yeah. A stick with two buckets and you know
some boulders.
Yeah. Think back to like the pictures that we see of like people in caves. They were all jacked as shit, right? Yeah. Like they didn't have LA Fitness to go to. Like what were they lifting? Just like rocks and logs? What were they doing?
It's body weight. They're doing, you know, chin ups, they're doing sit-ups, push-ups.
They had to kill animals to live.
It was just literally their day to day.
Like, what are you talking about?
You don't think they were doing push-ups and stuff?
They were in
jumping jacks
mode.
Huh.
No, they were at Costco lifting up those huge crates of water, Dan, I think.
That's why they were so strong. Yeah.
Billy,
sand dumbbells exist, you're telling me.
Yes, for years they've existed. They're probably cheaper than normal
ones.
That's
my thought process, because you can get sand.
Because they leak sand everywhere.
Hmm.
They seem to be pre-filled with sand, though. You go on Amazon, you're buying heavy things, presumably making them more difficult to ship. You're saying, Billy, send me an empty vessel for weight.
Yeah.
I'll go down the beach, bring home 5 pounds of sand and
exactly
fill this bag
right.
with it.
Well, I wouldn't tell people because I'd be stealing. Well, I wouldn't be encouraging theft.
Not to be Charlie Kelly from Always Sunny, but how do you count how much sand is like 5 pounds?
Well, that's
pounds?
What. Okay, that's a good question. This is what I was thinking. What I really want to.
That's all. You
what
just
I really
put it on a scale.
Well, everyone
so
doesn't have access
to a
scale.
The scale. Yeah.
Exactly.
What kind of workout is
it's
this?
It's difficult to. You can't judge it accurately. Who? Guys, you guys think you're so smart. Who goes to the beach with a scale? Okay, don't sound ridiculous. So this is what I'm thinking. You go and we like prefab. I mean, you can get on this business too. I don't want to sell it.
Keep selling me.
There's no business.
I just want to go. Come
steal
on, guys.
Sand.
Get on this. No stealing of sand. You can acquire the sand however you acquire the sand. Look, you can buy 50. I'll tell you guys right now. Here's a hack for if we ever develop this, right? To save you. I'm saving you money on a product that doesn't exist yet. I just want to sell
does
the dump.
Exist.
Not the way I want to do it. I'm revolutionizing. In the game of sand weights. I want to just sell plastic dumbbells and you go and you fill them yourself. So they're very light. All we're doing is producing the plastic dumbbells. You are there to fill them on
but
your
that's
own.
That's what they're kind of like already.
No, not the way we're doing it.
Okay.
Me and Mina's two guys.
Let's put that for another
day. You can then go to Home Depot, Dan. You can buy 50 pounds of play sand for like $5.
Let's put that on the list
anyway,
of things we'll get to another day.
We'll get to that another
day. To the goddamn gummy bears.
When you revolutionize the sand
the
weight
fitness game.
Industry and the fitness game, which you will arrive at having had gummies for breakfast for 10 years. When I thought, Billy, like I honestly
Haribo.
Thought, which one's been harder for you, traffic or fatherhood? Because I thought fatherhood was bringing you in in a frenzy, and I'm beginning to learn that it's just traffic.
Well, because it's so unpredictable, Dan. Like, no matter what time I leave, no matter how early I leave, someone always, because again, as a society, we haven't reached this pact to all be in it together. Every day, someone will crash into someone else, or some stupid thing will happen that throws everything off.
We are the worst in the country, correct? When you combine our drivers with how crowded we are and we don't have the infrastructure for this, there are way too many people here. There's no place worse than
regular.
LA is bad. One of my favorite tropes in the world is that every municipality, country, state, city thinks they have the worst drivers in the world.
Yeah, but we know it down here.
Well, that's
yeah,
we do. Yes.
Stugatz is right.
Yeah.
I was going to ask Jessica. I've gotten used to it because they're all selfish, crazy people. And
I went to Georgia once. Here. People stopped at yellow lights. I was like, awesome. What are you doing?
Where was this? Where? Because 285 is a death trap. Literally. Every single day. I lived in Atlanta for like 4 years. Every single day of my life, there was a fatality on 285. Every day.
Well, you win.
Way to go, Amin.
None of those happened down here. Anyways, back to the gummy bears. Billy, I stayed away from the gummy bears yesterday because do you guys remember that viral story from like 10 years ago with the sugar-free gummy bears?
Fentanyl?
No, it's not a fentanyl story. Is it the aspartame, the fake sugar?
It was the fake sugar one where a bunch of people were reviewing these sugar-free gummy bears on Amazon and talking about how it like destroyed their intestines and they had like horrible, painful diarrhea. And I haven't been able to touch a gummy bear since.
Wait, do you have the fruit snacks, the Welch's ones ever?
No, never.
Never even?
Never.
Oh. It's the same thing to you.
But just so you guys know what she's talking about here, I don't know whether it's 15 years ago at the start of whatever aspartame was as fake sugar after Splenda, I had jelly beans that were supposed to be sugar free, and what they did to me was a horror. Like, I can't even explain to you how badly my system reacted to this fake sugar.
Do you guys remember Olestra?
Yes.
Remember
it was the fake
the healthy oil
or healthy fat thing oil. Yeah, that was
they made
potato
the potato chips, but it turned into anal leakage.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast that actually was like debunking some of that. It was very interesting. It's called Maintenance Phase. Anywho, on Amazon, people wrote in all of their reviews from eating these gummy bears, and I don't even know if these are real, but this is one of them, and this scarred me for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Still have not eaten a gummy bear. What came out of me felt like someone tried to funnel Niagara Falls through a coffee straw. Oh. I swear my sphincters were screaming. It felt like my delicate starfish was gaping maw projectile vomiting a torrential flood of toxic waste. 100% liquid, flammable liquid, napalm.
Oh, yeah. That's
napalm is a great way to close it.
That's a little phenomenon we like to call poop soup.
But this is exactly why you don't look into what you're eating. Just eat it. Just eat whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Don't read into it. You're not going to eat anything. I have bad news for everybody here. Whatever you put into your mouth has killed someone at some point in time. So just don't look into it. Yeah, everything.
No. Yeah, but there's also things that are proven to like upset your tummy, and I would avoid those things if I could.
I would take it. Instant diet. About a diarrhea, drop 3 pounds. It'll be like a bad day, but it'll be like a week at the gym.
Why are you having gummies at 9 a.m.? Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Have you eaten gummy bears? Not the CBD ones, not the edibles. Mm. Have you eaten gummy bears for breakfast?
It wasn't intended to be my breakfast, again.
But the point
of the traffic and all of that was to let you know I was in a rush and I didn't have time to eat or drink anything. So I came in here completely parched and famished and I needed to eat and drink something. We got right into the show. So I needed to go in the limited break that we had. I needed to go over there. But a line had formed because we only have one toaster going on and everybody was making toast. And that's primarily what we have here is bread. So I couldn't eat the bread. So while I was there, it's bread and candy and
chips.
And
a lot
weirdly,
of chips.
Like,
there was a whole helping of bananas off to the side.
Those are fake fruits. I'm telling you right now, I grabbed one of them. Those are plastic fruits.
The top ones are real.
Why do we have fake fruit too? Why are we putting real fruit on top of the fake fruit just to throw everyone off?
Because they know no one's going to eat the fruit. So they just have decided instead of having spoiled fruit here, every week and having to toss it out. They'll get like three actual fruits and then they put it on top of all the fake. I'm telling you, I grabbed a banana the other day and it had an iPhone charger coming out of it. I bit right into it. It was Bobby's old banana phone. It was in there with the fresh bananas. It made no sense.
Witty, why are you so upset? Because it seems like you just received the worst possible news. It's just a banana.
I really enjoy the bananas.
No, ask Jess. I bounced an orange in front of her yesterday or the day before. I go, these fruit don't look real. And I grabbed them. I was like, wait a minute. And I threw it. It bounced into the air. They're fake.
I am mortified on behalf of the people who have fed us when we didn't have running water.
Yeah, we didn't.
ESPN. And I am mortified on behalf of all the care they've taken.
It's
in
a
the
good
other...
aesthetic. It looks great. It makes the room look awesome.
No, but there's also food here. You guys, the first time there was food there, I saw, we probably need more toasters.
We used to have one fridge, but it's behind
Dan. I saw wild wolverines after you guys left the room. I saw it had been attacked by hyenas and wolverines because you hadn't eaten in 8 years because ESPN put the spread downstairs for First Take and we weren't allowed to have any. And so I just feel bad for the people who over the last 2 years have taken such care to have the banana section for Whittingham.
No, they're doing great, but like we're not banana people, okay? Like we're pizza people, which is why they ordered 80 boxes of pizza and there was 40 left over. So guys, leftovers for lunch day. There was a conversation.
In the fridge?
Wow. No, you toss that in the air fryer that we have here. Ooh.
Excellent.
Oh.
Esquisito.
Oh.
Yeah, we only have one air fryer, so.
That's going to be a line.
Only one air fryer, yeah.
Tony's
food reviver. Microwave.
Tony's good with the air fryer. He can get those pieces in and out pretty quick and they come out very well.
I could probably put a whole box of pizza inside the air fryer.
No, you can't.
I think you can. You should do it. I can go back
like a caravan.
Yeah.
He's the best at ever.
You're better at air frying than anyone, Tony.
So back to the gummy bears. This is what happened. I needed to eat something, and there was leftover candy that was sitting right in front of me. And look, guys, I didn't want to faint here and have you guys then have to figure out what do we do with someone who's passed out because he's both parched and famished. So I said, you know what? Let me get my blood sugar up a little bit. So I started snacking on the gummy bears while I was waiting to make the toast. And then I had a bunch of judgmental people around me.
Yeah.
Leading the charge was Chris Whittingham over here, who said, and look, also, I don't like food to go to waste. And the people across the hall did a great job of getting all of this food for us yesterday for the movie that came out. They wanted it to be a great experience. And all of spat in their faces by not eating it yesterday. So it was left over today. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do this because I don't want Hildy and Kristen to feel bad about the fact that they put in all this effort and their candy is going to waste. So I said, I will bite the bullet on this one. Or in this case, I will bite the gummy bear on this.
Right,
and I went and I got the gummy bear. So I started chewing on some gummy bears while I was waiting for the ability to make the toast because I was doing a selfless thing again.
You're a .org. You're Brother Teresa. It's
I was
amazing.
Trying to be. I was trying to be. But as most people, I was then persecuted for me doing the right thing here. And Whittingham
now
looks at
Jesus
me
Christ.
And he goes, well, you said it, not me. So then Whittingham said, oh, I almost ate those gummy bears yesterday. And I thought he wanted the gummy bears. So I then took them out and I said, here, why don't you share with me? Why don't you have some of these Haribo gummy bears with me? They're delicious. And then he said to me, I couldn't do it. And I go, why not? He goes, I would have felt like a child eating a gummy bear. And it's 9 a.m. And I was like, wow.
That is very judgy.
He was judging.
That's what I said.
That is very judgy. Also,
I'm calling chickens on that with Whittingham.
What?
That guy eats more Welch's little fruit snacks than anybody on the planet.
The mean chicken wasn't giving us much.
Nothing at all, Dad.
I don't know how to do it. They're always aimed at me.
The mean chicken had no confidence. The mean chicken was trying to get in, and all the other chickens had too many opinions, so all the mean chicken could do was squawk.
Just squawk. I was an actual chicken.
In fairness to Tony,
in
fairness to Tony and the chickens, I do love Haribo gummy bears. I just don't like to. I don't like to eat them in front of people because I feel like I look like I'm 7 years old.
So
like
But isn't that the whole
point? So adorable.
The commercials are always like the kids in like the little suits and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So cute.
Kids.
So cute.
No, it's a kid's food. And like,
I would have felt
like, first off, I walked in front of everyone during the screening to go get popcorn, two helpings of popcorn, because I absolutely love popcorn. I can honestly probably start a popcorn reviewing series of Sports Stadium.
Oh, don't get us started on popcorn. And I get tells he has his special.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Dan's got the special popcorn. Yeah. That would review very well. Probably 9 out of 10 on my review scale.
But wow. Who are you? I'm afraid of judging you for eating gummy bears. Gino Fuentes? Like, what are we worried about?
It's us. No.
Yes.
The second Fuentes.
Everything that I do is subject to judgment around here, including not eating gummy bears now, apparently. And so I just would have, I would have felt judged. Hey, everyone, I'm going to walk in front of your view of our brand new documentary so that I can grab gummy bears and sit in the corner and eat them.
I felt for Whittingham as the company has grown during this weird time where all of us are fighting in traffic. I feel for Whittingham because everyone buries him at all times because we don't have corporate anymore, and now he gets to be corporate. And it's just he gets buried from every angle, and it's been rude and cruel to watch it. I've got to be frank.
I wanted to, and the only reason I did
it to himself, I have to be honest.
No, he's trying. He is trying to help everybody, and now you guys have him so self-conscious that he doesn't want to have a snack in front of you.
Well,
he's the kind of helper. Sorry, Billy. He's the kind of person who does help. He's great, but he's also judging you at the exact same time.
At an annoying rate. Today I almost went to HR to complain about him, but I didn't know how to go to because he's so helpful. He walked up to me and he just looked at me straight in the face and goes, "What size underwear do you wear?" And I go, whoa, inappropriate.
Yeah, we have a new sponsor is coming on board, Tommy John, and they have sent us underwear, not just underwear, for me, the creme de la creme of underwear. Fantastic brand. I bought them even before they were a sponsor. They sent us a shipment, so I offered everyone free underwear.
Can I put it on
the poll, boxers or briefs?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
There's another part to the gummy bear story, by the way, where Lewis came in and he accused Billy of stealing the gummies.
That was a whole other thing. Then Lewis came, which I haven't seen in months. I don't know where he's hiding. But Lewis came, and he just goes, "This is why Cubans have a bad name. Because I went to put it in my pocket so we could come across the hall and eat them." He was accusing me of stealing these gummy bears that nobody wanted to eat because they looked like kids.
He's like, "Get them out of your pocket." It was really, really like secret police style. Like, "Get them out of your pocket." And so Billy says, "No one wants these gummies now. My fingers have been in them."
That's true. I said, "My dirty fingers have been in these. No one wants them now." And then I was so flustered that I almost opened them and spread them across the counter just to prove wrong. But I didn't do it because someone else, I would have cleaned them up, but I needed to prove a point. So I can't spill it and then just be like, clean it up and then walk. But if I walk away, then something else is going to happen. Either someone's going to clean them up, which I would feel bad about, or ants would come. And we don't want ants.
You must spend your life driving home thinking of all the ways you could have dismounted on an argument. But
I have so many arguments in my head every day. Driving in every day, sometimes I have arguments. I have arguments all the time that I'm prepared for.
Billy, as a worrywart, how the hell were you ever a pole vaulter? Like, I always think about that. Like, Billy overanalyzes every single situation.
Different Billy. Yeah.
That's a different
Billy. I wasn't
broken
then.
It's a confident Billy that doesn't think, yes.
And it's so fast, you can't even think.
That thing looks
Chris
terrifying.
Is right, though. I would have made fun of him.
Can we please just one thing here at the end? Because I think this popcorn review thing has more future, possibly.
You just want your popcorn review.
God,
that's
we get it.
Exactly.
Sand weight idea.
That's a good idea, Dan. You want in? Today's the day. I don't, but I want.
I'm not even asking for 80-20.
Your mistake.
I just want to hear some more reviews, though. The comment sections are fairly useless. Some of the worst of the world is in the comment sections. But when you get around some of these, people have had the same shared experience with a fake sugar, and the way it cleaned them out is an unpleasantness they remember decades later. What is it that you found in that comment section for this fake sugar that makes you not, you will not have a gummy bear. You will
never
not.
Again. There was one more, Dan, that really stuck with me, and it was titled Gastrointestinal Armageddon. During one of the last of the 8 trips to the bathroom, I released such a large volume of gas that my external anal sphincter could not do its job and remained open and relaxed while about 5.5 to 5 seconds of gas was expelled. I've never experienced or even heard of that happening. It was so unnatural that I had to check to feel if my colon had somehow passed through the anal sphincter muscle.
Oh my God.
So that's happened to me before, and I've always I've always likened it.
Just stop it right there, okay?
The Dan Lepetard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self-check-in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Lebatard.
We like to call this one a chorus of Owen Wilson. Yeah. Ready?
Stu Gatz.
Wow.
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 This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stu Gatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I don't know what the strategy is, but I have assumed that Chris Rock has not publicly said anything about what happened with Will Smith and has told very few jokes even as he's working out his act. I have assumed that Chris Rock is going to keep to himself the entirety of what that material is and get the value of it by going live on Netflix and capturing audience so that Netflix, that does loves the data and a collection and the information, can see how many people they can get to a live Chris Rock show. Because Chris Rock has been throughout his career a terrible actor. The cue cards, his acting is terrible, and his act is very sculpted, and he knows the music of it. It's super, super precise, but live is hard. Live is a different animal on an act you may not have tried in public. And I've assumed that when he goes live, that he's going to do so. You're expecting a special that has a lot of Will Smith jokes in it, are you not?
Yes, but terrible actor. I mean, New Jack City.
Come on now, Pookie.
What are you guys expecting from that special and the idea that he's doing it live? Which these things, these specials are curated, they're crafted, they're careful, they're edited.
They are, but again, you know, he said he's doing it for the first time. He's not. These guys all work this material in comedy clubs across the country, particularly New York and L.A., going on a Wednesday night to the Comedy Cellar or the Belly Room at the Comedy Store in L.A., and you might see one of these guys walk in and just do material. And so it's been done before. It's just the idea that we're not going to get the clean TV experience of a stand-up, which is we're cutting shots of people laughing at other jokes to react to this joke. They didn't quite get the laughs that you would have wanted for a TV special.
They haven't secured a date for it, or they haven't announced a date for it. All the reports and blog items on it are early 2023, and I think if you really want to maximize the audience, the Oscars air in early March of 2023, so maybe that's what he's going to be going for. To me, the big news story here is this is Netflix's first ever live event. They're going to display this capability, along with the rumors that they're bidding on live sports properties. This is a dawn of a new age for Netflix, as their projections have come in under and they're struggling to find ways to add to their subscriber base.
Did you guys see they've added now Netflix with ads? Like, they call it basic Netflix.
Netflix and reinvented television. They're just TV.
Yeah. Well, they have ads and live. They literally lapped everybody, and they're now behind the pack trying to catch up.
They're like, oh shit, that's how you make money.
Okay, but can we examine this for a second? Because even during the pandemic, or the start of the pandemic, and Tiger King, Netflix was roaring. It was one of the succeeding economies, and everything has changed very quickly. The content game is shaking and collapsing a little bit because you've got corporate companies coming in here and gutting places for tax reasons, for economy reasons, and
antitrust reasons. dumbbells.
We had nothing else to do. I mean, that's why they flourished, them and dumbbells.
Well, but,
I mean.
But I've been asking for many years as I fell behind on streaming and didn't understand how, of course, your life will change when the menu is at your control. You don't have to do commercials. You can watch what you want when you want. You're not governed by someone else's schedule. Of course, I didn't realize while it was happening that Netflix was coming to replace television, not to compete against television. And they got such a huge head start that people did not think that even Disney could catch up. There would be no catching up to Netflix because of they were pouring more into content than anybody. And then everything that's happened with Netflix since leaves us in a place where, yes, now they've got to get back in the game with all of their billions. They're not going to just cash out. They got to get into streaming too. So Chris Rock Live, carefully curated to make sure that that's the time he's talking about it and all the eyes will be there on live television. It becomes the comedian's brand becoming bigger than Saturday Night Live now. As comedians and the older ones fight for survival and am I allowed to talk now? Chappelle is in a relationship with Netflix. Neil Brennan's got a special that's spectacular. It's really great. And he's trying to like reinvent the form of doing comedy vulnerably. And here's Chris Rock, and at the height of, like, it's an important time, man. These guys compete. Chappelle and Chris Rock are going for the title of who was the best. While we were around, Chris Rock has a moment here on live television. Am I Eddie Murphy? Am I Richard Pryor? I want to be one of the greats of this game.
I mean, his legacy is pretty secured, but this is the first time that it's been, maybe since the late 90s where it's or early 2000s, where it's an appointment thing, because I imagine it'll be marketed as his first public jokes on the Will Smith thing. So I think that's interesting. But I like that when I was growing up watching TV and cable television, the old, like, you either had an HBO special or a Comedy Central special, and that's how you have arrived. Comedy Central is pretty much unrecognizable now from the network that it was several years ago. Now the new standard is, did you get your Netflix special? Netflix has really gravitated towards stand-up and is now the platform. The prestige platform for stand-up specials. So for them to venture out into live programming and that first thing being a stand-up special tells you exactly how they've tried to corner that market, which is pretty fascinating because I'm not sure how macro that is. What is the broad base appeal of stand-up comedy these days?
And you also have to figure out a way to create destination events if you're these streamers. It's why Peacock spent so much money on the WWE, because there's a destination event once a month and it has a defined subscriber base. But I think what's happened to Netflix is they took everyone else's content, and the people who had the content were like, ooh, secondary revenue for this thing we already made. Thank you. I'll take the cash, not realizing they were creating this giant. And now everyone has sort of held on to all of their content and they'd rather create their own streamer that it's difficult. It loses them money. It's tough to get subscribers, but rather that than fuel the thing that will eventually replace them. So Netflix is looking for destination events like this one.
Would Chris Rock be hailed or vilified if he didn't refer to Will Smith at all, not even once? He's bigger than that event. That's not going to define me. I'm not even going to mention it. Because the first time I ever saw Jerry Seinfeld live, I was shocked he did not refer to the sitcom, to the eponymous sitcom, once. Zero reference for an hour and a half performance. And is Chris Rock big enough to actually do that, to astonish everybody by not even bringing it
That's
up?
That's terrible advice for you.
No, I'm asking the question.
Would you be disappointed if you went?
Everybody would be. Everybody would be.
Well, he's been disappointing crowds left and right because he's been very actively touring. And he hasn't cracked many Will Smith jokes.
Right.
Let me just say, Greg, that's an excellent question. But I just love the idea that you went to go see Jerry Seinfeld. Like, all right, let's get a Kramer reference in here. Oh, that one with Elaine.
You have to acknowledge
master your domain.
I mean,
and then like, nothing.
You don't find it odd that Jerry Seinfeld, in an hour and a half stand-up act, doesn't make any reference to the most famous sitcom in the history of television? I did.
No.
I was surprised.
No, and by the way, Greg, I watched Seinfeld stand-up right after the show ended, like in 2000, that HBO special. I never once was like, all right, is he gonna mention the black and white cookie? Because I would love a black and white cookie reference right here.
Yeah, but you have to mention it. Like, get over yourself. I went to see Jason Alexander at my temple. It's a weird sentence right there, but I did go to see him at my temple. He did his, and you couldn't ask him any Seinfeld questions. The only reason I went there was because you were in Seinfeld.
Yeah,
why,
ridiculous.
But why was he at your temple?
He was doing some sort of talk at my temple, so I went to it.
And what'd you do? You just raised your hand and say, Vandalay Industries. Who came up with that name?
They said on the front end, no Seinfeld questions.
Oh, get over yourself.
Thank you.
Please.
Yep. And Dan, I love what you're doing with Chris Rock, because you put a lot on the line. This is the way we should view everything, through sports prism. It seems like a must-win game for Chris Rock. I mean, is he the best ever? Is he Murphy? Is he Pryor? Is he this guy? I mean, if he doesn't have a good performance,
he's going to destroy
lot
Netflix.
Of pressure. Yeah.
We talked with Amin yesterday and Mike Schur about Chappelle, and this age is interesting for a number of different reasons. The comedians want the right to be comedians, and can you carry these old guys into comedy in the future? Because Netflix and Netflix is the one that's now funding comedy. Here, comedians, you want to come be a big thing over here? Here's specials. Netflix is what got Chappelle the name of his show back, right? It got him, he asked for it, and the guy running Netflix said, okay, you can have your show back. And Netflix has taken the hit on having Chappelle. And the leader of Netflix has said, nope, we're going to do comedy over here. Their future kind of depends on it, doesn't it? Netflix didn't spend all those billions of dollars to lose now. Are they going to go fight with the comedians because it's all they got?
Well, no, I think their future, say even their future depends on it. I don't think, I mean, it's already solidified from the comedy standpoint. I think the bigger thing isn't that Chris Rock special, it's that live. It's the portal into we carry live events. And like Whitty was saying earlier, like this is the gateway to we can do Formula One, right? Because we already have the most popular Formula One show in the world. Why can't we also broadcast the races with it? And from there, you start going into all the different sports properties that you can bid on. That's what this is about. That's what this play is about. It's just they are using the thing that they're already great at, comedy, to be the bridge to the thing they want to be great at, which is live broadcast.
They're basically just going to do what TV has done for decades to make money, which is an advertising model, and which is investing in live programming. And that for a lot of networks right now is sports. And the networks pay a lot of money to broadcast sports. But so far, they've found that the return on investment is worth it, because that's what's been able to keep them relevant, even as the streamers are giving you on-demand TV shows. But there's only so many times you can watch reruns of Seinfeld and The Office.
False.
And The Crown and all these other shows. And now it's split up between all of these companies. You end up spending as much money on 10 different streamers as you did your cable package. So that's all Netflix is doing. It's like a lot of these tech companies, they disrupt the market with this new idea, on-demand video, whatever it is. Like, we'll mail you DVDs whenever you want them. And then eventually there's like a moment where they're disrupting a market that existed the way it did because it was the way that it made money. And so now you have to like revert back to what was the pride and true method of creating revenue and keeping your company afloat. And that's what they're doing. And it's happened to a lot of these new tech companies over the last 20 years that are like, oh, we're going to invent this thing like Uber, but instead of one person getting a car, they're all going to pick up five people. It's like, congratulations. That's called a bus. If we had invested in public transportation 20, 30, 40 years ago, instead of everyone gets their own car, we would just have that already in a lot of cities. And instead, it's like, we have these brilliant ideas that don't make a lot of money, and we go back to the thing that we already know works. And that's what Netflix is doing.
But live television with Chris Rock. Amin, what are you expecting? He's going to sit it out?
I think he's going to make a light reference or a one joke that's a punchline or something like that. I don't think he's going to dwell on it. I think, like I said, Greg's question was actually good. What's the strategy here? If you're Chris Rock, as big of a moment as that was, you also don't, I mean, it's like, I don't want to turn into the guy that was my one moment and that's all I'm known for.
Right.
When I'm as great as I am, if I were a smaller comedian or less known comedian, maybe I do glom onto that. It's like, this is my ticket to the big time.
Yes.
But I'm Chris Rock.
But right. I'm asking
I'm
you.
Bigger than that.
But I'm asking you how competitive these guys are. I'm asking you, if you think of where, how weird a world this is, all these guys are like barbed wire around their insecurities. They're able to be funnier than the bullies. They got to the top of wherever funny resides. They're fighting over the specials. They're fighting over legacy. When you see the Pryor and the Carlin documentaries, you're seeing Chappelle interviewed. When Seinfeld's doing comedians in cars getting coffee. He's talking to all of these guys. They're competitive. Seinfeld has won. He got in and he got out and he made all of the money and he made a number one show and didn't talk about it in his stand-up special. And everyone thinks he's great. I mean, you might not think he's funny, but he's aged with unbelievable grace. He's almost 70 years old. No, I'm saying some people, like, look, man, there are a lot of
funny people.
There are a lot of people right now dismissing the funny people, the funny old people, because they're not funny anymore, because whatever. Whatever the reasons are.
In the words of Jerry Seinfeld, you're a cashier. Yeah.
But you don't think they're going to be competitive about this? You don't think Chris Rock is going to go in there saying, this is a moment for me to, like, it's a pressurized moment.
Yeah,
live.
But they're graded on the era that they excelled. When people talk about Eddie Murphy as a great comedian, he hasn't done a stand-up special.
Since Raw.
Yeah. And what do you always reference?
He's still the greatest of
all
time.
You reference Raw. Chris Rock dropped Bigger and Blacker. That's always going to be there. Mitch Hedberg had his Comedy Central stand-up special. They have these seminal pieces of art that they release, and you can always revisit. Andrew Dice Clay had a very short run, but his stand-up specials are revisited because that art is out there. Chris Rock doesn't need to keep going. His legacy is secure.
I disagree. Because what the difference is, let's take Eddie and Mitch. Mitch, obviously, because he passed away, and Eddie because he just doesn't do stand-up anymore. But that's they wrote out on top, like, all right, peace out, right? You want to know what I was like as a comedian? Here's the catalog. The problem with Chris Rock is he's done specials since then, including the one that was on Netflix a couple of years ago. They just aren't quite as good. So there is a feeling of, man, you lost your fastball. So Dan, you're right. I think there is a pressure to be great. But what I'm telling you is, for someone who is as great as Chris Rock has been, there's no way he's like, I need this to be good. All right. 40 minutes on Will Smith slapping me.
Right.
Like, because his genius was set. It would be like saying to LeBron James, hey, this is a must-win game. All right, I better just post up the whole game then. What, you're telling me, LeBron James, I still can't hit jump shots and drive and kick and do all these other things? I have to make it just around the back to the basket game?
If I'm Chris Rock negotiating with Netflix, I'm reminding them I'm Chris effing Rock. I'm not going to tell you what my act's going to be. I'm not going to promise I'm going to mention Will Smith. You take me as I am, or you don't. I think he has that power. I think he has that leverage.
I do think that we're talking about comedians a lot like it's sports, because right now it's just a bunch of men arguing about which man is better.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, Amin has Eddie Murphy going out like John Elway. I mean, it's fantastic.
I'm Chris Rock. I have to make an entire special about slap jokes. Who are you crapping?
Exactly. Yes.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.